you go.
Episode
98?
No. We probably won't reach 100 by the end of the year, just because this will probably be the last podcast.
For the month.
For the month, because obviously I'll be taking a little time off towards the end of the month.
Can y'all believe that, guys? Can y'all believe that?
Taking some time off. You lazy ass. Me and Kale were kind of talking before the podcast started here. Where is everybody at for that wall ball lunge workout?
Dude, no one. None of y'all. At least after the morning looked like it showed up.
I think morning was okay. Morning I think it's okay. About average.
Yeah. Afternoon was way below average.
Well below average.
Way below. I know if you came to the 6 o'clock class, if you're a normal 6 o'clock class, you actually got a little treat last night because there wasn't that many people.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys have been saying, which is kind of weird for the month of December, how the afternoons have just been slammed.
Yeah, it's no. I feel like December's never like that.
It's been different for this time of the year where, like you said, the attendance is a lot higher overall than you would expect. Because you most of the time, especially post-Thanksgiving into that four-week lull between Thanksgiving and Christmas, most people kind of go in that hibernation mode where they might work out from time to time. But
it's more hit or miss, right?
Yeah, but just the inconsistencies are definitely a lot higher.
But not even just 6 o'clock. It's like the whole afternoon, you know? It's like the whole afternoon is just like packed.
Well, usually the typical 3 o'clock class is, you know, a good day on a 3 o'clock class is 10 to 15 probably. Yeah. And the 4, 5, and 6 are kind of interchangeable. On a busy day, usually two of those three are packed, and one kind of being one like maybe a 10 to 15, right? So you might have a big 4 o'clock class, and then maybe like a smaller five. I say smaller, but like 10 to 15 at 5, and then back at like 20 plus or 6, or it's like 4 is a little bit smaller, and 5 and 6 are not packed.
Well,
but the fact you said the other day you had 3, so 4, 5, and 6 all had 20 plus
something,
in it.
Yeah. Which that was impressive, y'all. but I know like. For yesterday, it was like 3 o'clock. It was like kind of chill.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock. About the usual people showed up, you know, for 4 o'clock. And then I'm at the whiteboard at 5 o'clock, and I'm like looking around. I'm like, all right, let's get this thing moving. Like, I'm expecting people to come in, you know, late. And then 6 o'clock happens, and I'm like, same thing. I'm like, all right, it's going to be like 6:10, 6:15. Everybody's going to roll in, you know.
Yeah.
And it did not happen. It did not happen. So I'm thinking you need to reprogram that workout again.
The programming on January
8th. Put it 8th. On like a Monday.
Huh? January 8th, where everybody has to show January up for 8th. It. But like you said, I think it was one of those workouts where it obviously it was a tough workout, but it maybe looked a little bit worse on paper than in practice. I think when you have workouts like that where you're automatically kind of like, oh shit, you have a little bit, you're a little bit more reserved in the workout.
You're a little hesitant.
Yeah, you're kind of a little bit more timid, and you're kind of putting the governor on yourself the whole time because you're kind of expecting to punch you in the face at some point in time. And I think a lot of people yesterday obviously thought that, and because of that, they got done with it. And like, oh, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad. But obviously, just like with anything, you probably could have turned it into a way tougher workout if you wanted to.
Sure. No, well, like I was saying, it's like the people that like went for broke and like pushed it, they were hurt. They were hurting. Those legs were blowing up, and you could tell those legs were blowing up.
Yeah. Well, like...
Like, so many people walked up to me. I think Ethan walked up to me yesterday and goes, my left leg is so much bigger than my right.
Oh, my God.
I started dying laughing.
For me, it was my shoulders.
Yeah?
My shoulders.
See, I was asking people, like, obviously, like, asking, like, expecting to get that answer, you know? But no one was saying anything about the shoulders.
It was... Mainly, like, it wouldn't even, like, my breathing obviously was high, but that was more my limiting factor in a workout than, like, even, like, today, my legs aren't really that sore from the workout, but I was limited with, because due to shoulder fatigue, just from holding that ball for so long, doing the dumbbell front rack so long, my shoulders are just done.
I will say this, I don't know if it was less people in the class, so, like, maybe it made people want to go heavier, or maybe go up in a color or something yesterday, but... There was a lot of people doing like RX or Brown yesterday.
What?
At least in the afternoon, like I said, I don't know. But like, I think at 5 o'clock, we had like every guy in that class did RX. All the guys did RX.
Those guys normally do RX?
No.
What a hell of a workout to try to do RX.
And I was thinking the same thing because like, it was like Carl and Holden and Heath and like, and there's just like a bunch of people, you know? Really? And I'm like, and they're all like grab the 50s when I'm like, go get your workout weight. And I'm like, all right, let's go. Whoa. Here we go. And I was expecting people to go down the body weight. And dude, everybody stuck with it. Everybody stuck with it.
I guess when you just have that less pool of people, you have a little more spotlight on you, so you don't want to bitch out. Because like, at least in your class, like 20-25, you're a little bit more camouflaged.
Sure.
Where you're like, okay, well, nobody's going to notice I'm going down like purple or blue compared to if I normally do like brown or black.
And they're, like I said, it was just like, and they stuck to it, man. They stuck to the lunges. Like, you could tell the lunges were kicking some ass, but at the same time, they were like, they were determined to get it done, and they got it done. So that was good.
Well, look at them go. Just a few quick reminders. So we got the functional mobility class.
10:30.
That is the 16th. I couldn't remember. That was like a different date. So if you're listening to this after the 16th on December, don't come to class that day for the functional mobility class. And also just remember, we got limited hours starting on the 24th. Yeah. So Christmas Eve close. Well, 12 days of Christmas workout will be the 23rd.
That's a Saturday.
Saturday, which we would normally do that on Christmas Eve, but because we're Christmas Eve falls this year on a Sunday.
It's a weird one this year.
Yeah, the way the holidays kind of fall on that Monday this year. We'll do the 12 days Christmas workout, which is usually a gym tradition, obviously. I want to say last year, maybe we did it like on a Friday.
I don't remember what we did. I remember...
Because I think last year, because Christmas fell on a Saturday, Sunday last year, I think we did limited hours on that Friday and that Monday. Probably. And I think we did the 20 days Christmas working on that Friday.
I think you're right.
But this is like the first time we're really doing it on a Saturday, I'll say in a couple of years. And so be interested to see how many people actually show up for that.
Yeah.
Because some people are just like, I'm not working on the weekend.
Well, Saturday's just a weird day too, though. It's like kind of like, normally the people that come on Saturday, you can expect those guys to show up almost every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You do have your staple Saturday.
You have like your staple Saturday guys and gals. And then it's kind of like, you might get like 3 to 5, like just like random, like hoorah, woke up early, just ready to work out, right?
Yeah.
But I think this time you'll probably have a little more. I'm expecting like 30, 35.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Let's see if they'll outdo you.
They might outdo me. They might pop in like 40. I don't know.
50, 60.
Oh, God. Don't say that to me. But I think that's what I'm kind of thinking right there.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how it goes down. But it is going down on Saturday. And obviously, Christmas Eve, we're closed. Christmas Day, we're closed. Limited the day after on the 26th. And then we'll run as normal all the way through that Sunday, and then also going to do a little justice schedule for the New Year as well. So just FYI, if you guys haven't seen that announcement already. So one thing we announced this week, also we're going to do a Bring a Friend Week on January 8th.
Bring a Friend Week?
Week. Okay. So they can have a week, they can bring any day, they can come all week, they can come one day, as many days they want. So that'll be from January 8th, that whole entire week of January 8th.
Okay.
And then obviously it'll go back to normal after that. So that's something we haven't announced yet in the group, but we'll kind of talk, kind of answer in the podcast. So if you guys haven't, or now that you're knowing that, if you got somebody in mind who's been kind of asking questions, a good opportunity for them to try it out. That'll be on January the 8th.
Bring them on Friday.
All right. Or bring them on Friday. If you really just don't like somebody.
If you don't like them, bring them on Friday.
Man, when somebody brings somebody on a Friday.
I honestly like think in my head when somebody brings some new person on Friday, I'm like, you are just like trying to make them not want to come again.
You must not like
them. Like, you must not really like them at all.
Man, as a coach, and we don't really program them anymore all that much, but it would never fail. Let's say you had a workout that had, like, squat snatching or power snatches or, like, ring muscle-ups or overhead squats. Of course, somebody would bring someone, hey, this is my buddy, he wants to try it out today. I'm like, could you have picked the worst workout to bring somebody new on? And those are the days that were the worst. Usually, like, for the most part, I would say probably 80% of our workouts are done in a way where if you come off the street, you could probably get it done in some way or fashion or form. It was just those days that are really highly technical days that was always the worst to bring somebody.
But it is what it is, though. I'm so glad. Still bring them, though. Still bring them if you want to bring
them. Yeah, bring them on down. It is what it is. So one thing we did announce this week was the Consistency Over Everything Challenge. That will start...
Yeah, a lot of comments.
Yeah. So we'll start January... The official challenge will start January 8th. We will have a kind of an intro class, which we're going to go over some of this information today, obviously in the podcast. But we'll go over like best practices and things like that on that Saturday class. So there'll be at...
6th.
Huh?
It'll be the 6th, right?
Be the 6th, be a Saturday. After the 9 o'clock class, we'll say 10:30 for that. I'll say have a little buffer time between the class and the Consistency Over Everything Challenge. And so we'll do about a 1-hour class there, and you guys can have any questions, anything you need answered. And obviously we'll run for 4 weeks starting that January 8th. And we'll do like maybe 1 to 2 weekly videos, just kind of still going over best practices and things like that, and kind of showing a little bit more in-person best practices for you guys. And you'll notice that we posted in the group, obviously, the details of the different things in the challenge, which we'll kind of break down here today. And you also have a consistency tracker, which we've talked about on the podcast before with usually calendars and things like that. So you actually have a visual reference showing you, did you complete the task or you did not complete the task for that individual day, right? And we've held like a Shredded by Summer challenge. It's going to has a lot of those components from that challenge. We've kind of revamped it a little bit for this consistency over everything challenge. And, you know, challenge has kind of a weird stigma to it. It's kind of, I don't know what word I'm trying to think of here, but it's just kind of like some people may roll their eyes at it. It has like a weird vibe for some people, but also it still is obviously very effective that people still like the challenge verbiage for something like this. Now, one thing when kind of coming up with a challenge, which I know, I think I talked about this with Trey one day as we were kind of coming up with the idea of the challenge, was you'll see, you know, a lot of challenges, whether it may be like the Whole 30 challenge or the 75 hard challenge. That's not a challenge. It's called 75 hard. Yeah. Is that they're very, I don't know if you see the word extreme, but very much 180.
Yeah.
You know, and and we obviously preach a lot about sustainability and being consistent. And one thing I do think, I understand why some of these challenges are the way they are. So obviously you proved yourself that you can be, you can sustain from, you know, eating sugar or bread or doing these extreme things for an X amount of time and proving yourself that you can do these things. But the problem is a lot of times with these challenges as well is that obviously not very sustainable. Yeah. And
it's not like you're never going to eat sugar again.
Yeah. And after the challenge is done, you go back to what you were doing before. And a lot of times what I preach is, you know, finding what's the balance for you with your current lifestyle, but also balancing a healthy lifestyle, right? And I think that's kind of the million-dollar question for a lot of people is what does that look like for them? And that's going to be different for everybody to a degree. And so when kind of coming up with a challenge, you'll notice that, you know, you don't have to do all these tasks every single day, but we do have an X amount of volume of doing that. And, you know, I had this conversation with Sarah Marcus the other day, where all my goal is for anybody when they're coming to this gym is for them to be in a healthy body fat percentage with enough skeletal muscle mass.
Sure.
Right? That's really ultimate today. Yes. Because that's going to be your biggest factors for multiple reasons. One being that you're going to physically look better, so you're actually going to feel more comfortable in your skin and be more confident. And two, by all the health metrics, those are the two biggest things to actually live for longevity and healthy is based off your body composition, not your weight.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's your skeletal muscle mass to body fat ratio. Now, how extreme you take these things is really just determining based off you and what kind of lifestyle you want to live. So for an example of that, For a woman, the ideal body fat percentage is between 18 and 28%.
Okay.
For a male, it's between 10 and 20%. So obviously, it's a different range there. So use an example as for a female, 18 to 28 being in that range. Well, you being 26% body fat and you being 18% body fat looks a lot different in lifestyle.
Sure.
Both are healthy, but big difference in lifestyle changes. Same thing for a male. It's one thing to be 18% body fat. It's one thing to be 10% body fat. Big extreme differences on how extreme they take their diet and how extreme they take their training, how much sacrifice they have to make in their daily lives to accomplish these things. And for most people, if you can kind of shoot somewhere in the middle of that gap, for most people, that's a good enough balance where you can, quote unquote, still live a healthy lifestyle, but also what most people will consider closer to a normal lifestyle, right? Where you can still kind of eat out from time to time. You can enjoy some beers here and there. And it's a little bit more of a what's the word I'm trying to think of? A little bit more of a balanced approach compared to somebody who's like trying to get single digit body fat and shredded abs. Like, obviously you're not going to be able to eat out as much and go hang out with friends and buddies and eat and drink and do all these crazy different things. And so really the point of this challenge was to understand and striking a balance of showing you that you guys can implement these healthy strategies on a regular basis and still have room and buffer to live a normal life and still live a life that you want, but also be happy in the skin that you're in.
Like while achieving your goal.
Yeah. And that's always the tough balance or the rope the balancing act of life in general, right? Like there might be times where you take things a little bit more towards, the needle gets pushed more into health direction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that needle gets pushed over a little bit more into like the lackadaisical, being lazy.
Kind of like cruise control.
Cruise control and try to go a little bit more of a hibernation, like might put on a little bit of weight. And you're going to skew back and forth. I think that is one thing that people don't realize. It's okay to have phases throughout your year where you maybe push that needle over in one direction and you're a little bit more conscious about what's going on. You know, obviously being a lot more food restrictive, working out more consistently. And there's other times of the year where maybe it's just a season in your life where things are just really busy. Maybe you don't get to the gym as consistently. Maybe you're not on top of your food as you normally would. And maybe you put on, you know, a little bit of poundage here or there, but it's still within reason, right? And you kind of sway back and forth between the two things. That's completely realistic, completely fine for most
That's
people
your normal
to do.
Probably cycle for most people.
And it goes through ebbs and flows throughout your whole entire year. And that's perfectly fine, right? And so I do think you need to set realistic boundaries and understand what's going to be a balanced approach for you at that point in time, right? I think that's the groundwork you have to start off with is that. Because just inevitably what ends up happening for a lot of people is they take things really extreme because they're motivated early on, and then it's not a sustainable approach, and obviously inevitably they end up falling off every couple of weeks or whatever it may be. And so even though this is a four-week challenge, the goal being is that you guys can sustain, let's say you're at 100% on this challenge, if you can sustain at least 89% of that after the challenge, you're still going to probably be in a better boat than once you started.
In general, it's like the 80% rule.
Yeah, 89% of the time. And so I'm trying to think if there's anything I want to kind of add before we kind of start off breaking each individual piece down. But and also what's realistic expectations for yourself.
I was about to say, this might be something good to talk about.
It's probably another thing because I actually had a conversation. I'm not going to, he was talking about somebody else that he knew, but that works out here. But she had lost about 10 pounds over, you know, a handful of weeks time frame. And she was kind of upset that it wasn't more.
More.
And that's actually really good progress, right? I think with social media and magazines over the years that we've been programmed to think that losing 20 or 30 pounds in a month is the average.
It's so doable, right?
It's like it's easy.
Yeah.
And especially people that are taking the shot right now, like that's a whole nother story in itself. But first off, that's why body composition is more important than weight, right? And that's why if you guys are doing the challenge, I highly, highly recommend doing an in-body exam before the challenge and then post. Because
that should be like step one of this challenge.
Yes, because of the fact if you're increased skeletal muscle mass and you drop body fat, you could possibly maintain the same exact weight you are when you start the challenge.
You might lose a pound.
You might even gain a pound or two, right? If you haven't been training as frequently, right? Or just increasing your protein intake. But you increase your skeletal muscle mass and decrease body fat. Obviously, that's going to balance out your weight on the scale. So you can't use weight as your whole entire judgment call. But even so, 10 pounds in a multiple week standpoint is really fucking good progress, right? But for her, it seemed to be not that great of progress, right? Because I think you get sold this lie of like losing 20 pounds in 30 days is achievable and what people should be striving for. In all actuality, you're only looking to lose about 0.5% to maybe like 1.5% of your body weight on a weekly basis. Right? Like 0.5% for me would be like 1 pound.
Like, I'd say, what is it? Like a pound a week is like a really good goal?
Roughly about a pound a week. That's a good general average. It varies, right? So like you take somebody who's 275 pounds compared to somebody who's 145 pounds.
It's a lot different.
That weight progression is going to look a lot different.
And that also makes a difference, like where you're starting, right?
Yeah, your starting point. And so you're going to have to set what's a realistic goal by the end of this challenge, right? And for most people, you know, maybe losing a roughly about a pound a week and losing a percent in body fat and maybe gaining a pound of skeletal muscle mass is a realistic goal in a 4-week time frame, right? And it's something we'll talk about in the class a little bit, but if you take an example of somebody who is 250 pounds and they lose 10 pounds over a matter of, let's say, let's kind of use an example of, I don't know, let's say 2 months.
Okay.
Multiply it out over a year.
Sure.
Right? So if you lose 10 pounds every 2 months, I mean, that's 60 pounds in a year. In a year. Right?
Now you're at 190.
That's a humongous difference in body composition, right? Like how dramatic difference that would be in a year's time frame, right? But I think people get sold on like they're going to lose 10 pounds in a month, sure. And then they don't see that acceleration from the month to month, and they get demotivated and they just quit doing what they're doing. And you could even multiply that out. Let's say they only lost 10 pounds every 6 months. Well, you multiply that out over 3 years.
Yeah.
That's 60 pounds down in 3 years,
sure.
Right? And that person looks dramatically different over a 3-year time frame. But everybody wants like the now, right? And like, that's the hard thing about fitness is that it's a slow moving process. And there's times that you're going to hit plateaus and not really much is going on, but you're still required to do all this work.
Sure.
And it's just one of those things where you're going to have to kind of keep digging the hole.
It's one of those things you can't just say, I'm done.
Well, yeah. Cause you know? if you just kind of use that, well, I'm done, then inevitably you're going to reverse backwards. In, right? Yeah. And so that's a common reoccurrence with everybody today is that, you know, there's that temporary motivational spike. They do really well for, you know, at best, usually a couple of months. And then that motivation wanes down, or maybe the progress is stalling out or slowing down dramatically. And because of that, then it's kind of like, well, I'm not doing this for nothing. Mm-hmm. And just kind of resort back to old habits because that's easier. And you're going to have to be in it for the long haul. And we're trying to say, if you can stick to these fundamental habits, you can get a long ways there. And maybe over time, you start to implement a little bit more over time. But if you just started with these couple steps right here, you'd be, like I said, 89% of the way. And then you could add on a little bit more stuff later on down the road to up the intensity a little bit higher.
Stuff right here.
Right, exactly. So there's 7 different items on the list. We'll kind of break down each individual one a little bit more in detail and kind of the idea and the reason behind each one. So the very first one is very simply, obviously, working out 4 times a week.
Okay.
Ideally, I would love to see that be in some type of weight resistance training of some kind, whether it be done here at the gym, obviously, or done like Hurricane at home with some dumbbells.
I mean, that's going to be a good option for people.
If you need to, right? I think inevitably life is going to get in the way. Like out of all these items that are going to be listed here today, the working out in the way of like schedule wise is the one that's probably going to get fucked up the most, mm-hmm. to be honest. Because inevitably you're going to have to schedule out your time for that hour and a half roughly of your day. Because it's not just the hour of the class, it's also the 10-15 minute commute.
Travel time
before and after the workout, right? So really you got to schedule out like an hour and a half worth. Is you're going to have to schedule out your day around that. It's not like you don't say when I get to my workout. It's just a part of your routine day every single day. It's a reoccurring appointment that happens at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 days a week, whatever it may be. It's just a reoccurring appointment that has to be scheduled around. Everything else kind of revolves around that time, right? Or if you're like, if it's the afternoon, you got kids and they have a lot of shit going on in the afternoon like mine, then 4:45 might have to be your option, right?
But then 4:45 last week.
Yeah, like it's just one of those things where, and the phrase I'm going to use a lot during this challenge is forward thinking and backwards planning. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Forwards thinking and backwards planning.
Right there.
Okay. Yeah. So actually thinking about the future and actually understanding this is what my schedule looks like. Realistically, it's not like all of a sudden now you're going to say, kind of put the bird to the kids and say, I'm going to get my workout in. I can't go to your basketball game anymore. Not realistic. You got a lot of shit on your plate. You're going to have to think about what is going on in your week, what's going on in the afternoons, and then understanding where is that time frame going to fit into. Mm-hmm. If it cannot happen in the afternoon, it's got to happen in the morning,
yeah.
right? And that's easier said than done for some people getting up in the mornings, but that sometimes is all the option that you got, right? There's nothing going on at 4:45 in the morning. Yeah. It's just a matter of you getting your ass out of bed. It's not easy. You're going to have to backwards plan your sleep schedule now
sure.
if you're going to go at 4:45. Because you can't expect now you'd go to bed at the same time at 10 o'clock.
And expect to be ready to go
at 4:45. And wake up at 4 o'clock, and now you've reduced your hours of sleep by an hour and a half every single day. And then expect that you're going to feel great and dandy every single morning. Not realistic.
Yeah.
You're going to have to backwards plan. If I plan on going to 4:45 and I go to bed at 10, I'm going to have to back my shit up now to 9 o'clock bedtime or 8:30 bedtime. That's just the realistic side of things. And then same thing. If I operate at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's fine. What are going to be my best practices now to make the 4 o'clock class? That mean I got to get it to work 30 minutes earlier now to be able to leave 30 minutes earlier to make the 4 o'clock class and forward plan for that or backwards plan for that? Or, you know, does that mean that I need to pack my bag now in the night before with my workout clothes? That way I'm awake in the morning, I can take my bag with me and I don't have to make that extra commute to the house to get my workout clothes and change, and I can just change at the gym. Whatever that case scenario is, it's all individualized to that. But you're going to have to understand what your schedule looks like and then backwards plan for all that around all that. Okay? So 4 days a week, we offer you guys the option of Hurricane at Home on the Chalk It Pro app. If you have a hard time finding it, come to me or Kale and we can show you guys how to get to that. And just like you said, you had somebody ask you about the Hurricane Home workouts the other day.
Yes.
And I think some people look at them as like lesser than workouts. Those workouts are still fucking tough.
Well, I just don't think people have ever like clicked the track on
to actually view it.
Actually look. I think people just like have that like that stereotypical like thought process about it. But if you actually look at those dang things, they're just as bad as a class.
They're tough workouts.
Yeah.
And all you're gonna need for the most part is a pair of dumbbells. Some other things you might need in there is maybe like a box or like a lot of times, Kayla, at our house, just uses like a Yeti ice chest as a stable.
Box or a rope, probably.
Maybe a jump rope. You can make a jump rope. You don't need a jump rope. We have different modifications to everything to where all you really need at the end of the day is a pair of dumbbells. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have those, you can go down to Walmart or like Dick's Sporting Goods and buy you a pair of 20, 25, 35 pound dumbbells for probably under $100
sure.
for the most part. So if you want to make that investment and have a pair of dumbbells at home, to where if you're working shift work or whatever it may be, you still have that option to get that workout in no matter what. Most of those workouts are going to take somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes, excluding the warm-up and cool-down. If you throw the warm-up in there, you may be looking at 30, 35 minutes,
yeah.
but it's definitely under an hour, and you don't have to commute to the gym, right? So regardless of what that looks like for yourself, 4 days a week of workout, ideally with some type of weight training included. The reason why I kind of say the weight training aspect is because of the fact of the body composition.
Yeah, trying to build your muscle.
If I'm always just doing, you know, not to shit on Peloton, but like if I'm always doing like Peloton style workouts or just running, those are fine workouts, right? But obviously with high amounts of cardiovascular activity, you run the risk of losing skeletal muscle mass, mm-hmm. right? And because of that, it can skew your body composition, right? There's a reason why you see people who run marathons don't look the best.
They look the way they look.
Right? You either see people who are extremely skinny or you kind of see like the people who are actually like still overweight and they just run marathons and it's just kind of like,
just
yeah, it's not very often you see somebody running a marathon who has the best body composition.
Yeah.
So a minimum of 4 times a week, you're going to have to block that time off. I think 4 for people is definitely doable for most. I was hesitant. I almost made it 3, but I said I think 4 is...
4 is a challenge.
4 is a challenge.
Yeah.
It is definitely... 3 is definitely achievable, but 4 is definitely more of a challenge on a being a consistent standpoint over that 4-week standpoint. And if you can maintain a 4-week staple for the majority of the year...
I think the results that you're going to see for 4 days a week is going to be way, way better.
Exactly. And it's going to be one of those things where you're going to be maybe sore, you're going to be tired, and you're not going to feel like doing it. And just the act of starting is such a big, powerful tool for a lot of people. Like, I can't tell you how many times every week that I come to the gym and I have I don't want to's.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not, quote unquote, feeling it today, right? But a lot of times as I get warmed up and I get the blood moving, I feel better.
Yeah, it changes your attitude.
Yeah, it changes your attitude. You start to feel a little bit better, you get a little more lively. And you get done afterwards, you're like, okay, obviously I had it in me today, right? Now, there are some times that you don't feel great and you get warmed up and you still don't feel great and you get to the workout and you still don't feel great. But still, at the end of the day, you still check the box And I think sometimes that, like with CrossFit, right, it's constantly very functional movements performed at a high intensity, not maximum intensity. Sure. I think there's a difference there. I think sometimes that line can be blurred where I think people think if I don't go completely sell out my workout, it's not a good workout. You can still perform at like a 70, 80% level and still see results that way, right? Now, I would say over time, you're going to have to find days where you can pull on that lever to go like closer to like 90 plus percent. You can't do that every single day and expect yourself to improve. Like we talked about this before of not just spinning your wheels when you come to the gym, right? If you're always doing orange workouts, you're never going to advance. Yeah. At some point in time, you're going to have to start scratching into the blue workouts. You got to step
outside your little boundaries here and there.
But you got to show up first to be able to do that in the first place, right? And so that's just the very first step is actually just showing up. And it's kind of one of those things like that's the very basic steps first. And then later down the road, we can start to worry about how much intensity is on those given days, right? But let's just start off with just getting to the gym or getting a workout in regardless. Like same thing with Kaylee. Kaylee works out at home about 3 times a week. She doesn't even fucking warm up.
Yeah.
She basically just starts the clock and just goes. Right, because you know I have 20 minutes.
I gotta go.
I got 20 minutes. She literally pulls in the van, she changes, goes straight to the garage, starts the clock, 20-25 minutes, and she's done. Right, like her first round or first 5 minutes of the AMRAP or her warm up, and she just kind of goes from there. Right, and so, but she's getting it in no matter what. Right, she's obviously seen progress. Like right now, I think as of this week, she's under 140 pounds now.
Hey,
right, okay. So. Having a baby 7 months ago, pretty damn good progress, mm-hmm. right? So 4 days a week is the goal for this 4 week challenge. Next, probably the more simpler of all the seven is obviously water intake. So the goal for that is getting in 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right? I think for most people operating on a Monday through Friday standpoint is ideal, right? I think if you can do the work Monday through Friday, you can still have your weekends to quote unquote live more like a normal human being.
Enjoy your normal lifestyle.
Right. So think of it as like Monday through Friday, that's when you're more regimented with your work schedule anyways. And so this is kind of where all that's kind of going in with each other. So with your water intake, the goal is getting half your body weight in fluid ounces in water. So many people do the whole the gallon jug thing mm-hmm. of water. And we talked about this before. It's not, it'd be like saying everybody has to get in 250 grams of protein.
Sure.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would somebody who weighs 120 pounds and somebody who weighs 230 pounds drink the same amount of water? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And you're at a disadvantage doing either one where obviously you're not drinking enough water, it's a disadvantage. If you're drinking too much water, it's a performance disadvantage as well, mm-hmm. right? Because you're depleting yourself of the electrolytes and sodium and things of that nature, which is also a performing inhibitor. And because of that, you're not going to see as many results as you could otherwise, right? So the minimum being half your body weight in fluid ounces. So if I weigh 200 pounds, I'm going to get 100 fluid ounces of water, right? Now, what are the best practices for this? It's going to vary from person to person. There's multiple different methods on how you could do this. For me personally, I have like that tin container. It's a 50-ounce water container.
Okay.
Right? So I know I have to get through.
It's a coffee container.
But yeah. It's old school. Old school coffee container. Thermos. So I have to get through 2 of those a day. Right? I know that's my minimum of 100 ounces a day that I got to get through. You can have something where, you have to get, if you have a container that's a 32-ounce container, whatever it may be, you got to get through 3 of those a day or 2 of those a day. But you have to have some type of ideal of how much water you need to drink and knowing if I fill up this canister, I got to get it 2 times. Or if I'm even doing like an old school water bottle.
I feel like most people nowadays have a container that they drink.
Most of you guys have a big water jug, especially you girls with damn Stanley cups. Girls. You guys have all those things. So like I said, this is probably the easiest of the seven. Now, the only caveat I would say to this to a degree is if you're somebody who doesn't drink a lot of water automatically, jumping up to, let's say maybe only drinking 30 ounces of water a day and I jump up to 100 ounces of water a day.
Huge jump.
So just be a little wary on that one. Especially if you find yourself having to get up to pee more than once a night. Then you're kind of stepping over dollars to get to pennies because in my opinion, sleep is more important than hydration. And so if you're constantly disrupting your sleep because you're having to get to pee so much, you need to be a little cautious in that and maybe slowly ramp up that water intake over the couple of weeks there and not just jump directly over that. And also maybe start off a little bit stronger with your water intake and then kind of level off towards the end of the day so that way you don't pee as much as nighttime.
That's a good idea
too. As well. So just kind of be aware of that. So that's your water intake. Next, we include this in the Shredded by Summer Challenge is the fruit and vegetable intake. Mm-hmm. Some of you guys are picky ass eaters.
A lot of you guys.
You're going to have to find some stuff that you like, right? Like quit being a 7-year-old saying you don't like fruits and vegetables.
Like,
you don't
find a vegetable, find a fruit that you enjoy eating.
And use it consistently.
Or find a way that you enjoy eating it.
You don't have to have, I mean, great, variety is great and that's grand. But if it's apples and bananas for all of it, then it's apples and bananas for all of it. That's fine. It's fruit and or vegetable. It doesn't have to be
all vegetables.
It doesn't have to be 400 fruit and 400 vegetable. It can be 700 fruit, 100 vegetable. You get all fruit. I don't really care. But it's 800 grams for the males, 600 grams for females in weight of a fruit or vegetable, right? So now we're kind of getting to the nutritional side of this a little bit. Obviously, most of you guys obviously understand the benefits of eating whole foods and the micronutrients that you get from that food. But the primary play with this, and it's the same thing a little bit with your protein intake, is when you're eating these whole foods at the volume that you're eating it at 800, 600 grams, you're going to feel a lot more full and more satiated. And when you're more full and more satiated, you have a clearer head to make better decisions and you don't overeat on the other foods that are more processed and more dense, which we talked about plenty of times on this podcast, where just because you're eating a large volume of food and you get full from the large volume of food doesn't necessarily mean you're going to gain weight from that food. And same thing, just because you eat a food and you don't eat a lot of it and you don't feel that full afterwards doesn't mean you won't gain weight from that food. Because ultimately at the end of the day, it's the calories coming from that food to ultimately determine you gaining or losing weight. And eating whole foods allows you to eat a bigger volume of food with less calories. So you're going to have to, once again, you're going to have to think into the future and then backwards plan. So understanding that you're going to probably have to, and it's the same thing that's going to apply to protein, which we're talking about in a second, more than likely you're going to have to either one day of the week or the night before or that morning take out your fruit and vegetables and then
put them in containers
and weigh them out. So having a food scale is a must for this challenge. So you're going to have that fruit or that vegetable weighed out ahead of time. And obviously understanding how much you're going to eat for a 24-hour period, right?
Don't try to eat all of it in one sitting.
Don't eat all in one sitting. It's probably not your best approach either. You want to kind of probably gradually spread that out throughout the day where maybe I eat 200 grams in the morning, 200 grams for lunch, 200 grams for snacks, and then another 200 grams at night if I'm male, right? And kind of evenly spread that out. I maybe have, or maybe have one meal is like 300, one meal is maybe 100, and I kind of balance out that approach. But you need to have a plan, the whole winged approach of like, I'll just kind of figure it as I go. And then at 7 o'clock at night, you're like, oh shoot, I got 600 grams I still got to fill. That's a lot of fruit and vegetable you're going to hit within that time frame. And obviously you're going to have to be strategic on what fruits and vegetables you're choosing. If I'm trying to get it all through spinach, not very smart either because you're not getting enough weight of that. So understanding what fruits you're going to eat, what vegetables you're going to eat, how much of them you're going to eat, and then having an understanding of when you're actually going to package all these things up for yourself, that way you can actually be consistent with it, right? Next is going to be obviously your protein intake. Now, usually we would say gram per pound of body weight. We kind of changed it a little bit and say ideal body weight in grams of protein.
Like what you want to be or what you're striving to be.
So let's say I weigh 180 pounds. I'm trying to get to 140 pounds. Then I'm going to have to eat the goal being 140, right? Just because obviously you have somebody who's maybe a little bit on the higher body fat side of things. That's been always kind of a little bit of a caveat with that is, let's say you maybe have somebody who needs to lose 60 pounds. Well, that's them eating extra 60 grams of protein is going to be really hard to achieve. And so we're going to say ideal body weight and protein. So if you're weighing 160 pounds and you want to weigh 145 pounds, you just get this minus 15, right? No big deal. And once again, that's the same concept with the fruits and things of that nature is you're going to have to pre-plan that out ahead of time. Like this is going to probably out of all the things that are going to require the most planning is going to be the protein.
Yeah.
right? Because fruit and vegetables are a little bit easier. You can kind of go on the go and grab an apple on the go.
Sure.
You can grab a banana on the go, an orange, whatever it may be.
You're going to actually have to pack your proteins.
But when it comes to like protein, you're going to have a better understanding of, and even like a banana, you can take it out the peel and put it on the scale real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with a meat source, you're going to have to actually have to cook the meat and then weigh it afterwards and things like that. So it makes it a little bit more of a task to do. But you're going to have to create some type of menu for yourself to a degree. Once again, the vegan approach will never work, where if you just kind of eat throughout your day, especially females, and you get to the end of your day and you're like, oh shit, I have 70 grams of protein left.
That is not a fun feeling.
And so that's going to be a rough go. Yeah. And so understanding, okay, this is the amount of volume of protein I need to eat. I'm eating 140 grams in the day. Okay, if I'm going to eat five times a day, and I do the math on that, I don't know if the math tells them, it has 30, 60, 90, 120, 150. So roughly 25, 30 grams of protein at every meal will be the average of what I need to be. If I'm eating five times, then okay, so I know I'm eating 25, 30 grams at each individual meal. What am I going to eat at those individual meals and how much to tally up that total,
mm-hmm.
right? And once I've understood that, then I'll say I can go to the grocery store, I can buy my food, I can prep it, put it in separate containers, weigh it and measure, and now I'm set and ready to go, right? And I can include protein shakes in there if I need to,
sure.
especially in the middle of the day. It's 10:30 in the morning, and you know usually you're kind of busy at work around 10:30 in the morning, then probably going with the protein shake is a better option to compare to trying to sit down and have like a meal,
yeah.
right? Because it's a more quick and convenient option. But you're going to have to do some type of preparing ahead of time when it comes to that. Especially with females, obviously they have a tendency to under-eat on protein. Males are better, but they're still usually under if they don't track. Just naturally, the tendency is to want to eat more fat and carbier food just because usually those are more tasteful, they're easier to get down, they don't require a lot of prepping, and compared to the protein, it requires a lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's probably one of the biggest keys to you maintaining or improving your body composition is consuming enough protein on a regular basis.
So you, that's probably like what the most, if you were to not do any of these things and just did that, I mean, you would see great, great amount of improvements.
Yeah. On nutritionally, on a nutritional standpoint.
Side,
yeah. On a
right?
nutrition side, if you, the fruit, like, and we're trying to make this, I don't want to use the, I don't want to sound mean, like we're trying to make it as, idiot proof as possible.
As cookie cutter as we can.
Cookie cutter yeah. and as easy to follow along as a program as we can.
We want you to be able to do it after this too though.
Yeah. Because right? if you just stuck with the meat and fruit protocol, you could probably, you're like 80% of the way when it comes to like on a nutritional mm-hmm. standpoint, right? At the end of the day, could you overeat on fruit and meat and gain weight and gain body fat?
Sure.
Yeah, you can. I'm not going to lie and say it's like it's a foolproof way you'll never gain weight. It's just
it's still a calorie thing.
It's just really difficult.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult to do it that way compared to if you eat cakes and cookies,
sure.
right? And so even if you didn't track calories, you can still go a really long ways. Now, will it give you the most dream body of all time?
Sure.
Probably
it's
not.
It's kind of like you said earlier, though. It's like it's how extreme do you want to go?
Exactly. It'd be like me saying, okay, I need you to go outside and you're going to go run for 15 minutes a day. I don't care how far it is. I don't know what kind of, I don't care what intensity you put it at. Just 15 minutes a day. You can probably still see a lot of improvements with your running
mm-hmm.
in 15 minutes a day, every single day. Are you going to be running sub 3-hour marathons?
No.
Probably not, right? But you're going to still see a lot of improvement that way. Same concept here with your nutrition. Are you going to get down to single-digit body fats following this protocol? Probably not. Right? But you're going to see a hell of a lot of improvement to where you are
might
currently.
Might motivate you to do that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, it's a stepping stone down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Where once you get these nutritional practices down and you feel comfortable with those nutritional practices and they're more of a habit now, they're second nature to you, then you layer on more complexity. And you can say, okay, well, let me start tracking my calories and see actually how many calories I'm eating now. Okay, well, I'm eating 2,100 calories and I'm maintaining this body weight of 150 pounds. Okay, well, let me bring that down to 1,900 calories and reevaluate and see how that where that takes me, right? But I'm layering on another step down the road. And that becomes more complex, right? So protein being out of the seven, probably the most time-consuming of your, not safe to consume of week, it's going to require the most planning mm-hmm. for sure. And once again, you're going to and find meat sources that you can come back to on a consistent basis. Just because people eat chicken and you don't like reheated chicken, don't do chicken.
Sure.
Right? Do shrimp or do like scallops.
Cooper hates chicken.
Don't do that. Like, yeah, like
all you eat is ground meat, right?
All you eat is ground meat, right? And so it just varies from person to person on what standpoint you want to go with, right? Like, pick the food choices that you like. And more than likely, you're going to probably have to come back to these food choices somewhat consistently, mm-hmm. right? Next on the list, 10,000 steps a day.
Okay.
Now, for some people, if you don't have like a smartwatch, you're probably going to have a little bit more difficult time tracking this.
Your phone actually does it.
Your phone does it in your pocket. If you have it in your pocket all day, that's the only bad thing is if you set it down.
You just got to have it. Yeah.
You just got to have it on. Your phone will track it, but you just got to keep it in your pocket all day. Now, you can buy like the old school, what's it called? The odometer or something like that is what it's called. So back in the day, you could actually clip it onto your belt. Before you had smartwatches and phones, and it would track your step count. Okay. It's like old school, like grandma and grandpa stuff.
I've never heard of that.
I think it's called an odometer. I can't remember off the top of my head. But this is actually, because the guy who actually created the odometer back in the day, he's like a Chinese guy. It's because I remember reading the story on this. He was a guy who originally came up with a 10,000 step thing. But he did it more so to sell more of them,
okay.
right? But since all that has happened, a lot of research has came out actually
proving them, right?
Proving the understanding of the benefits okay. of walking 10,000 steps a day. So some of you guys might need to either keep your phone in your pocket all day, purchase a smartwatch, or buy the old school odometer, which sure. I think is like maybe 10, 15 bucks on Amazon that you can put in your pocket all day or clip it to your waist belt, whatever you want to do, okay? So why the 10,000 steps a day? Is most of the calories you're going to burn throughout your day do not come from the gym.
No.
They come from outside the walls. It's your non-exercise-induced activity. NEAT. Okay? That's where majority of your calories come from, or burned calories come from. And that varies from person to person on multiple different standpoints. Obviously, probably the biggest thing that determines how many calories you burn outside the walls is your job. Mm-hmm. Most of you guys don't have jobs that are very physical laboring jobs. Most of you guys aren't outside working construction.
No.
Most of you guys are probably working behind a desk, sitting in a chair throughout the majority of your day. You might get up and walk around from time to time, but you're not physically moving throughout your day for the most part. And research has shown that people who are, those people who just can't sit still, they're fidgeters, where they're constantly like bouncing their leg up and down, or you know, the top of the desk, whatever it may be, those people can burn up to 1,000 calories more a day compared to the same person, the same avatar person as them, who weigh the same, who have the same scale of muscle mass and body fat. They can burn up to 1,000 calories more a day because of the fidgeting they do throughout the day, right? But
I'm not saying just start fidgeting
everywhere. But you can't just sit. Well, I was gonna say, like, you can't sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to come fidget. I'm like,
just start clicking my pin
like
all day.
Exactly. I'm just spazzing out. Like, you can't maintain that. It's kind of something you either have or you don't sure. have. So what is a way for us to introduce non-exercise-induced activity that doesn't feel like it's a humongous chore to do and isn't going to beat you up?
Okay.
Hence the walking, right? If I, for most part, if I told people, hey, can you go outside and go walk for 20 minutes in the afternoon with your wife or your kids, it wouldn't be this humongous ask of people for the most part, right?
Usually, a lot of you guys walk already.
Yeah, you walk after. And
count your workout.
Find ways to introduce more walking yeah. throughout your day. It can be planned walking, or it can just be something that you're kind of already doing, but just drawing it out a little bit more, mm-hmm. right? And it's, I know it's cliche to say, like, park further back in the parking lot,
sure.
right? But that is things that will help add up. And those, you know, that could extra 100, 200 steps that you're taking now. All that shit starts to add up, right? You normally park in the front of the gym, park further back in the gym, park on the street, and add more steps. Go for a half mile cool down after your workouts now.
There's a lot of people in the afternoon that have just started doing 400 meter cool down walks instead of 100 meters.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right? That's way easier ways to implement some more walking to what you're currently already doing, compared to saying, okay, now I'm going to have to introduce an actual mm-hmm. time frame to go walk now, right? Your most optimal time to go walk is post-meal because of glucose regulation, things like that. But so if you're actually looking at the most ideal times to go walk, it'd usually be after a meal. So let's say you're eating lunch. one of the best things you can do after you eat lunch is actually go for like a 10, 15 minute walk afterwards, right? If you're on a business call, go walk around while you're on a business call. Kind of knock out two birds with one stone. Find ways to get moving more regularly, right? And get out of the chair and actually get some footsteps in. But getting that 10,000 steps a day is a way for you to get extra movement in, more calories burned, without it feeling like this big, humongous task that you're over something. And most of you guys usually can find walking as something relaxing and get away from the phone and get away from the TV and actually spend more quality time with your spouse or your kids. And just go walk around the block, right? Like me and Katie do that on a pretty regular basis where we're going to walk around the block with the kids. Sometimes it's chaos, but it is what it is. But we're not, and I don't necessarily do it necessarily as a, as I'm thinking like, oh, I'm getting steps here and burning calories. I'm just looking as a way, like it's an opportunity for us to get outside for a moment and actually have a conversation with one another. Because once you get inside the house, it's pure chaos. The kids are hollering, they're screaming, they're, you know, wanting things. When we're outside, they're in their little wagons or their bicycles. They just kind of focus on riding their bicycle in their wagon. We can actually have a conversation. So it's actually good quality time for me and her. But find ways to introduce that on a more regular basis. Next thing, which most of you guys don't always have a hard time with, is obviously the sleeping aspect. So the goal being 7+, which we kind of resorted back to the beginning of the podcast, talking about working out. If you're going to be an early morning riser, or if you plan on rescheduling your whole entire stuff to where, let's say maybe you are an afternooner right now and you're trying to transition to the morning time, you're going to have to rearrange your sleep schedule to an earlier time. You can't just automatically go from sleeping 7.5 hours a night to 5.5 hours a night and all of a sudden feel fantastic. Right,
the same output or work or whatever it may be.
Yeah, so you're going to have to be very, very diligent about that. Most of you guys, for the most part, do a good job of at least sleeping a minimum of 7 hours a night for the most part. I don't think it's something we got to really harp on a whole bunch, but if you're not currently doing that on a regular basis, you are doing yourself a tremendous disservice in the way of how well you're recovering from day to day, and as well just like mentally wise, how much more mental clarity and how much better decisions you make when you're actually not sleep deprived. Inevitably, life always is going to get in the way and shit's going to happen from time to time. But when you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to make worse decisions because you're just in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think
it's a lot more instinctual, just like doing something.
And it's one of those things where we probably should pre-work this a little bit for the podcast as well, because it's something I wanted to talk about a little bit, is we always have this magical game plan. Like, okay, well, I have these steps. It's just a matter of just executing the steps and, you know, everything will be good. And I'm sure people have done this time and time again where, you know, you kind of come up with this game plan, like, okay, I'm going to follow this game plan. This is what's going to get me to my goals. And you go to execute the game plan and it might work well for a couple of days. And inevitably something happens in your life that's wrecks your day and all of a sudden it just all goes to shit.
Okay.
Right? Like, life's always going to happen. Like, trust me, I have 4 kids under 6 years old.
You know.
My plans never go to plan as we originally planned it. And so you're going to have to be willing to readjust your schedule from time to time and kind of take the hits and understand, like, there's going to be times where you're going to be exhausted and you're going to be tired because something happened at work that day or something happened at home and you're not going to want to do this. Mm-hmm. But it's the people who do it anyways, the people who see the results.
Sure.
Right? Like, there's so many times where, you know, it'd be so much easier just to go get takeout and, like, go get some fast food than to cook. Right? Like, it's so much easier to do that shit, right? Because it's more convenient. It sometimes can be self-soothing, right? Food can be self-soothing. And you're looking for that comfort, right? Well, the comfort is what got you in the place that you are now, right? You're going to have to challenge yourself and make that choice in that moment and take that 10-foot view out away and make the choice to still do the work regardless of how you're feeling.
Sure.
Right? Like, you're gonna have to kind of treat yourself like a 5-year-old and be like, just because the way you feel and the way and how you act from those feelings doesn't just necessarily justify it. I had to have this conversation with Carl the other day. Like, just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you have to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's the same concept with you. Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean all of a sudden now your goals go to shit because you're having a bad day. We're very emotional people that drive our emotions, drive our actions a lot of times, but you're going to, and a lot of times your emotions are liars and you're going to self-sabotage and go back to comfort, right? You're going to have to get uncomfortable And you're going to have to be willing to make that choice to be uncomfortable on a regular basis. And that's not an easy task. No. And I think that's really the biggest defining moment with people who are successful with all this stuff, is that it's not always from the due of lack of planning or whatever it may be. It's due more to the fact that you let your emotions rule more your actions than anything else. Mm-hmm. Right? You're going to have to take the... And I'm not saying you're this emotionless person that you can't react on some of your emotions. I'm not necessarily saying that. But what I am saying is that sometimes those emotions are what wreck you from actually achieving some of the results that you want, right? And so you're going to have to understand that and know those times are going to come. And that's where shit gets really, really difficult, yeah. Right? I think people always plan for, like, this is going to be this golden brick road of, I do these 7 things and I'm going to have all this success and things like that. I'm not fucking trying to sell you like this magical golden brick road, because it's going to be fucking tough, yeah. Right? Like, you have this plan, but inevitably the plan is going to get hard and you're going to have to make a decision to actually execute on the game plan regardless of what's going on that day.
Sure.
And you're going to have to make that choice where you open that container of food that you food prepped and you're like, fuck, I would just way rather get a pizza tonight. Yeah. I'm just so stressed out. I got this going on. You can't. Like, just eat the meal. And knowing that we talked about sustainability approach, where the weekend's coming, I can have that. If I want to still have that on Saturday, I can go have that on Saturday.
Sure.
But right now, I got to compartmentalize that.
Friday,
for me.
You got
to
get it together.
I got to compartmentalize that and move to another day. And I can, at the light in the tunnel on Saturday, Sunday, I can then have that meal maybe that I wanted, right? And I think that's where finding that balance comes into play, right? Where you can't, it's just, I always talk about nutrition and finances, right? Like, probably your best general rule is if you want something, like you want to buy something, probably wait on it for a couple of weeks. If you still want a couple of weeks, maybe buy it if you have discretionary income, right? It's kind of the same concept with your food. Just because you want something right there in that moment doesn't necessarily mean you
act on it tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's kind of closing up that loop. 7 hours a night of sleep. You need to obviously forward think or backwards plan and think about what that looks like. Is going to look like for you, actually, what your bedtime routine is going to look like. Can you get 7 hours in consistently? We put in there 6, so you have at least one give me day in there to where something happens where the kids maybe throwing up that night or, work called you in that night where maybe you couldn't get it in, right? No big deal. You still got one to spare. And then lastly, just something a little bit different. Has nothing necessarily to do with like health and nutrition per se. It's just showing like a little gratitude. That's one thing I need to do a better job in my life, is just kind of voicing to people that I appreciate in my life, like actually telling them, like, hey, dude, like, fucking appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of deal. I think sometimes you can take people for granted in your life that you would otherwise. And inevitably, the people that you love the most, you treat the worst sometimes.
Sure.
And so I think it's just, as being a good human being, just taking a little bit of time out your day to actually be grateful. And that puts you lost in a lot better mood and actually be appreciative of life. I think we talked about this the other day, like social media, that sometimes we can always look at things that we don't have compared, like, because everybody's always showing the highlight reel on social media. Like, oh, look at this big house I have, or this car, or all my kids are straight A students and they act prim and proper and they don't ever cry. And they can kind of make you feel lesser than. And in reality, obviously, that's a bunch of bullshit. And kind of being where your feet are at times and just appreciating things that are around you and taking that time throughout your day, every single day, to do that can go a long ways in actually improving your mood. And if you're just a fucking happier person, you're more likely to make better decisions,
yeah.
You know, in general. So I don't want to get on a soapbox on that, obviously, because I'm not a psychiatrist, but I just think that you can be a lot better fucking person being a little bit more appreciative of what the things that you do have, right? And that's always a little bit of a hard balance of appreciating what you have and being grateful for what you have, but also still striving to do better for yourself and striving for sure. More in life, but not getting so wrapped up in that rat race of, well, I'm just so fucking miserable because I'm never getting all these things. Mm-hmm. But actually and taking a moment to appreciate where you are currently, how far you've come, and then put your head back down and start working again.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way I like to look at it. But anything else you want to add to that, Cal?
I don't think so.
All right.
I like it. I'm excited to see who sticks to it the whole 4 weeks.
Yeah. We are officially 59 minutes and 15 59? Seconds. We're almost at 60.
Okay.
All right. So that puts a wrap on it. Remember, that will start on January the 8th. We have that 1 hour class on the 6th. Make sure you guys print out the habit tracker. That way you can visually see how consistent that you are being. Because obviously, consistency over everything is key to this whole entire aspect. And seeing that visual reference on a daily basis seeing every week that I hit the markers by using that tracker will go a really long way.
Put it on your fridge.
Put it on the fridge, put it somewhere. I think Kaylee Mancuso, Trey's wife, has printed about 18 of them and has laminated all of them as well.
Okay.
So we'll see you guys next time for episode 99. That'll probably be in 2024.
See you in January.
Later.